The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's January, but it's almost the end of January, guys. And because it's almost the end of January, gotta let you know, if you're hoping to get your hands on some amazing mascara, this sponsorship's going to be running out, or this discount, because, you know, these episodes are sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com. I talk about mascara all the time because it makes me feel flippin' fantastic, like I'm bodacious. And is bodacious like curvaceous? What is bodacious?
Bodacious is like Pam Anderson, like Baywatch.
It makes my lashes feel like they could be a star on Baywatch.
Bouncing up and down as they're running.
And my favorite mascara, my epic mascara in black, brown, or waterproof black, is my best-selling mascara for a reason. It's awesome. It curls your lashes. It separates your lashes. And it's worth giving it a try because I have a love-it guarantee. And because you're a listener of the This Is Us 2 podcast and a supporter of Blake and I, we're giving it to you at a discount. Only now in the month of January. It's going to run out. Okay, so you got to go to minutewithmary.com/discount to jump on that. Once it's February, we're switching on over to something else.
And so you want to unleash your inner Pam Anderson as soon as you can.
You want your lashes to unleash your inner Pam Anderson.
I don't care. As long as you run on the beach.
Everything else, no. You don't need to run on a beach. It's cold. It's winter. I want to be Rebecca Pearson with all the hats and the scarves and the cute blue eyeshadow. Sign me up.
You forgot the most important part about the mascara. Does it in one swipe. One full step. Boom. Done. That's all you got to worry about. One step.
Look at you.
It's because I'm awesome.
You are.
Hey, Randall. Hey, Kev. I lied, man. I need a catch. I'm not okay. I'm not okay, man. He had a knife. And he was in my bedroom, Kevin. He could have done something to Beth. He could have done something to my girls. He could have...
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm here, all right? I'm here. Just breathe. Randall, okay? Just breathe. We can just sit here on the phone together, all right? Whatever you want.
I just need you to talk, okay? Say something, anything. I just need you to talk. Yeah?
Of course. Okay, yeah. No, I'll talk. I can talk. I'm good at that. I'm gonna be that guy, Randall, okay? I'm the guy that's gonna get you through this.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I think Mary needs some extra coffee tonight. Extra coffee tonight.
I'm drinking honey chamomile tea.
And the reason why we all know that Mary needs extra coffee, well, you guys don't know, I do.
Why?
It's because you had a hard time falling asleep last night.
Oh, my gosh.
There was just a smidgen of anxiety happening during and after this episode.
Listen, if anyone else can relate, there's going to be double story time, okay? We're just going to get into this.
All right, let's do the double story time.
Well, first and foremost, last night was...
If you're just joining us now, you're just joining us for the podcast, this is when we get into our stories of how we relate to this, the most recent episode for this podcast episode. Yeah. I just want to make sure if we have new listeners, it's a brand new season.
Yeah.
Well, not a new season, but it's...
But our connection, how this show is us.
Correct.
In a way. Well, last night was very difficult for me to watch. So I have been broken into a couple of times in my life. And whether it's been my car on my birthday, thanks, jerk. whether it was on the 4th of July weekend and we came home to finding out my apartment was broken into and like priceless family heirlooms were taken. But the most scary situation of break-ins was on a random Wednesday night. I came home from work. I'm pretty sure I knew who broke into my place. I was dealing with a person who was a little unhinged, who wanted to be romantically involved with me. My God. Anyway, I came home from work. I worked two jobs. I was teaching full time as a music teacher and then working at the Rhode Island Philharmonic youth ensembles. And I came home after dropping off a student, exhausted. I was on the phone with my mom and I walked up to my apartment door and my door. So you had to get in through the main hallway, but then my door was wooden and it was broken. It was crowbarred open. And it wasn't that I had left it open. It was torn apart where the lock was. And I don't know what happened to me, but adrenaline kicked in. That's what happened. And I kicked the door and the lights were on. And I screamed, "Who the F is in here?" But I didn't say F.
No. She went full out.
Yeah. I kicked the door and said, "Who the F is in here?" And I started to like storm into my tiny apartment. And my mom is on the phone with me and she's going, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I said, "Someone's broken into my apartment." And thank goodness I was on the phone with my mom because she was yelling at me. And it took me several seconds to like hear what was going on because she was yelling at me, "Get out, get out. There's only one way in and out of your apartment." I had like a studio apartment. So thank goodness it clicked and I turned around, left the apartment building, ran across the street to one of my students' houses, knocked on the door, and the kid was like, "Hi, Miss Earl. What are you doing?" And I was like, "I've just been robbed. Can I see your mom?" So called the cops. The cops were there in a few minutes. We walked back over with the cops. Well, the cops went in first and then they called me back in. They said, "Nobody's in here now, but there's footprints." And the door had been closed and the light was turned off.
And they really tore up the place. They really tore it up. Bear's like,
"Thanks, Blake, for adding this." Yeah. So the cops were like, "Oh my gosh, look at this mess. Look how messy this apartment is. They threw everything you own all over the place." And I scanned the room and I went, "No, no, this was all the way it was this morning." They're like, "Really?"
Bam. Just like that. A winner.
Yep.
And I said, "Let me look around at my valuables." Nothing was touched of my valuables. Nothing was touched. The apartment was a disaster.
It appears the suspect had many dinners and left the dishes in the kitchen.
I seem to put together, guys, but let's be real. I'm very, very messy. But the creepiest thing was there were footprints on my carpet, and they were able to figure out that when I kicked in the door and I yelled, the person was hiding in my bathroom. And as I said, to get into my apartment, they had crowbarred it open, meaning they had the crowbar in their hand. And there I was, marching right towards this person.
With a crowbar.
Yeah.
Who's no longer hungry.
Who had no way out.
Yeah.
Aside through me. And it really messed with me. And I heard the same thing, that frequently intruders come back that same night or the night after. And I had to sleep with my bed pushed against my broken crowbarred door so that if the intruder came back that night, hopefully my body weight in this bed would keep the door shut. Needless to say, I didn't sleep that night. And yeah, a couple years later, I got broken into again. So when I saw this trailer of this episode from last week, I told Blake right away, next week's my story. And my second story is that watching last night's episode messed me up.
Oh, yeah.
Messed me up tremendously. all of like my own PTSD of being broken into and knowing that the intruder was there and knowing that the intruder had a weapon and fearing that they were coming back and having to know that they often do come back. And knowing that people get broken into all the time. It's something that still haunts me. And so as I watched this episode and I saw all of the Randalls facing their monsters but not being able to do anything about it, and I saw modern Randall knowing that his home, like literally his home, was broken into, and to then find out that these jewelry pieces were taken, that this person was in their bedroom, it messed me up because it brought back all of my fears. Oh, and sure. It reminded me, like, it was so well portrayed that it shook me. I was seeing me on screen. And I, too, battle anxiety. And so I went through Randall's emotions. And throughout the entire episode, Blake was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I had to keep telling him, "I'm not okay because I know this." And they did it so well. That this is me.
I thought she was mad at me. I was like, "Oh my God, what did I do? I didn't do anything."
Yeah,
that's how it was. It's a legit thing. Mary was messed up.
I was not okay, and then I had to stay up at night watching Virgin River on Netflix.
Freaking Virgin.
It was the River. Like, I've asked other people. The one that we watched last night was the worst episode of the season. I'm sorry you had
no,
to watch that.
You don't say. that was so bad.
Sorry. So. That's my story. That literally, I don't think I've had an episode that has affected me as much as last night did.
Of any episode of television, or just
of This Is Us. Oh, and a lot of things in This Is Us hit me.
Yes.
But this was really tough for me, and that's why I think this show is so awesome. Is that most people in their lifetime are going to get broken into. Most people are going to lose a parent. Most people are going to deal with some form of addiction, either themselves or in a loved one. Like, this show freaking gets it, gets the tough stuff, and says, "Oh, this effed you up? Well, guess what? We're going to show it on TV because it's effed up other people, and y'all need to talk about it, and you need to go to therapy."
So much therapy.
All the copays.
So many copays.
Call your Kevins and let them know that you are not okay.
Well, if you want to keep hearing these blazing hot takes like Mary has here about
I wouldn't call that blazing hot take.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, if you want to hear Mary's blazing hot takes about Virgin River, let's put it that way. You can follow us at maryandblake.com or check us out on all the social media websites, all the fun places that you can think of, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of it. You can find us. Just look us up at Mary and Blake. And again, maryandblake.com. You can find all of our great podcasts that we're doing, including Keep Calm and Crown On, Outlander Cast, which will be returning.
It's coming back.
It's coming back very soon. February 16th, I believe, is the premiere, season 5 premiere of Outlander. Mary and I will be back doing that. And we have Minute with Mary, Game of Thrones, The North Remembers. We have so many podcasts. It's all there at maryandblake.com. And obviously, if you want to continue to help the show, please consider becoming a patron of ours at outlandercastclan.com. Or if you really want to help the show and you want to help Mary, take a look at minutewithmary.com/discount and get that great deal that Mary mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. You want to help the show? You want to help us continue to podcast and help this whole process? That's where you should go.
Help me pay for my copays.
From getting broken into.
It's not good.
All right, Marvin, you ready to get into this bad boy?
You betcha.
You want to relive the PTSD?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Where's my chamomile tea?
Well, this one's titled A Hell of a Week, Part 1. This is actually the first of a 3-episode run that is focused specifically and singularly on the big three. Obviously, this one, of course, is in reference to Randall. Next week's episode will be Kevin, and the following, obviously, will be Kate. So we'll see how this goes.
Land the plane, Helen. Land the Kate plane.
I know. The director for this one is Kevin Hooks, who has directed remember the great bottleneck episode, The Waiting Room, when they were all trying to wait for Kate's baby being born?
Baby Jack.
And the other episode, R&B, from this season. And obviously, he has this episode here.
Which, once again, what has happened with R&B? No idea.
Yeah, I know.
Who's
right?
Managing the properties?
R&B properties is just, we're out. We're out on it. That's one of those things that just kind of disappeared, like Walt being special in Lost. It just went the way
it
of the dodo bird.
Probably got reunion ruled.
We have to go back, Kate.
Yeah, it got reunion ruled. You know, Dan Fogelman was like, guys, love
this
idea.
Did this Is Us friends know about the reunion rule? We'll get back to you on the reunion rule.
I think we talked about the reunion rule.
Basically, you think you have a really great idea, and it's a big project, and you jump all in, and then you get in, and you're like, actually, nope. I should not have planned my 10-year reunion. None of these people liked me in high school. Why did I sign up to do this?
Shouldn't have done that, Mary. Milk was a bad choice.
Okay, continue.
All right, so, and the writer was John Dorsey, who is actually a staff writer for This Is Us.
Okay.
This season. Not even a story editor, just a staff writer. And
don't hate.
I'm not hating at all. I'm just saying, like,
you're just like, not just.
My ultimate point, my love, is he's graduated from being just a staff writer in the writer's room to actually having his own episode. This
I
is
hope
a big
gets
deal.
A present. Like not only is it a big deal, but like I wonder if they get a donut cake or something. Like when you get a promotion like that,
yep.
You know, do you get a card? Do you get a little cupcake? What happens?
Do you get like a stale donut? You know,
I hope not a stale donut. I want a donut cake.
Well, it's a big deal for a staff writer.
That's
all
what
of a sudden
saying.
To just, you know, become have credit. It's congratulations. You know what, good sir John Dorsey, I give you this.
Seriously, and not only to have graduated, but with this episode, heck yeah,
makes me wanna shout.
Oh yeah,
we're sending you a virtual donut cake.
There you go. I got you, John. All right, so now we got all the information out of the way, all the specifics. Marvin, what's your lemonade rating?
4.9.
How come?
Because it gave me a very terrible anxiety issues.
Yes.
AKA, I got not all the feels, but all the feels they wanted me to get, I got.
Yes, you did. You absolutely did.
And that's why it's also not a 5. Thanks a lot, This Is Us. I couldn't sleep.
For me, I'm giving it a 4.7. I'm teetering on 4.8.
You should give it a 4.8.
I'm
have too much Kate hate. Just, you know, I'm going to change in the document. It's a 4.8. Stop hating on the Kate. Give it a 4.8. Oh, Poe didn't know it.
Oh,
okay, it's
man.
A 4.8.
Fine, I will go 4.8. I will, dare I say.
Giddy
dare
up.
I say it's a horse. It's giddy the first horse up. Of the winter season of This Is Us season 4. I'm in on it. I'm in good. On this episode. I quite enjoyed it. Marvin, your GBG, the good, the bad, and the great.
My good is the acting of all of the Randalls, even new little Puddin' Randall. Oh my goodness gracious. We're in pretty much red rum colors coming on at ya. Okay, the
little kid. That was not pre-written, ladies and gents.
What?
That was not pre-written.
What?
That is amazing that you just, you invoked red rum. You like, this is great stuff.
Guys, I need to drink more chamomile tea. who needs whiskey? Okay, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
man.
Seriously. When I was watching and the little kid in the trike and, you know, the shining kid, and then in comes Randall wearing like sleepy pajamas. And I'm like, are those the same color? Go back to bed, creepy kid. the acting of all the Randalls with all of their fears. Seriously.
Yeah.
Done. Sign me up. You got. Yes. You all win.
Especially the little kid. Like the little kid being
the little kid did a great job. I will give props. Actually, my favorite out of all of them was
Teenage Randall. Yeah, Niles Fitch. He's really good.
Oh my gosh, all of his screaming that he was doing, and you know, like he's dead. You're dead. You're dead. Oh, yeah. We've all had those dreams.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to this.
Okay.
My bad. It was going to be Kate. Okay, but it's not. It's actually that moment when Randall calls Kevin, says, I'm not okay. I need a catch. And Kevin's there on the phone with him. I am so sad that we know that they're not going to be speaking in 8 months.
Yeah, this is something that I was going to bring up in later on in this episode.
That's
but you're
my bad.
You're right, man. Like,
it's not that it was bad of the episode. I feel badly about this.
Like, how does it come to that?
Well, we know probably how it's going to come to it, but it breaks my heart. It just breaks my. I just love the Kevin Randall relationship as adults. Okay, and then my great is that it was so real that I was like shaking. I was hugging my knees in my chest and just shaking and not smiling and just freaking out this whole episode. Like I was watching The Shining. That's mm-hmm. how it was. That for those of you who don't have anxiety or maybe you haven't been broken into, it was like I was watching a suspenseful movie. Mm-hmm. It was like I was watching a suspenseful horror movie. That's what my body's reaction was.
Absolutely.
So.
100%. And I think that's by design.
Yes. So because of that, it is great.
Well, when you start putting The Shining in this episode, I mean, you know, I gotta give it to you, boy, John Dorsey. The things that he used in this episode to set a tone, brilliant. Brilliant. It just using The Shining itself. Well, we'll get into it in a little bit here, but fantastic stuff. Really, truly fantastic stuff. All right. For me, the good. I have a tie here. The first one is the shot of Jack.
I just need a moment.
What?
I love that our Google Docs for our GBGs, I put down like two words. You know, my great, so real. That's all it is. So real. Whereas Blake has giant paragraphs for his things.
Well, because it helps me.
I know it helps you. I just love the differences of how our brains work. I just write so real. And you have well thought out.
We should put our
paragraphs.
Show notes up. Like,
I don't. At least that. Man.
All right. So the first one for me is the shot of Jack beside Randall's bed as he's a little kid. It's just this head like totally straight down look at the two of them. Jack is below, Randall is up, and you could see Jack sleeping. Randall's sitting there with his hands on his chest, eyes open. It was the way that it's framed and it's blocked. It's just a beautiful shot. Like I really appreciate it. But one that really stands out for me here is obviously the dream that that Randall has as a teenager about his dad and his dad being at the dinner table and essentially recreating the dinner from the episode Storybook Love. And teenage Randall's there is saying that he's dead. You're dead. What are you doing? All the things that are involved in this real subtext here of that he's angry at his dad and no one's listening and no one's paying attention and nobody understands the gravity of what's about to happen. And
which means they probably filmed that on that same day as those darn Cornish hens.
Maybe. It's a total possibility.
If they did, good job. maybe not.
The bad for me. And this is kind of an unfair take. This is one of those takes that I'm probably going to regret, but I'm going to be stuck with it. I don't like what they're doing with Kate in this episode.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's going to suck in the third episode.
Okay, so that's literally why you wanted to give this a 4.7.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the whole thing with Kate, it just feels so transparent. It feels so transparent, and I'm not looking forward to it. The great, though, I have a tie again. The first, the dream with Randall unable to stop the guy from lightly grazing Beth, like on her shoulder, and he's just sitting there laying down screaming. that was brutal. But the real great here is the final scene that we play at the end, at the beginning of our episode, the podcast here. Randall calling Kevin, and Sterling K. Brown is really good at his job, ladies and gentlemen. Really good at his job. There's a reason why he has Emmys. There's a reason why he's the man. And he this is probably some of his best work since Memphis, in my opinion.
Agreed.
It was really, really good.
Or since Frozen 2.
Yes, it's Frozen 2. And you are. Sorry, it's a bad line from Frozen 2. But it goes to show you how far these people have come in their relationship and also how far they're going to fall later on, as Mary stated earlier. This is like peak stuff between Randall and Kevin right here. I'm so in on it. Marvin, are you ready for the big three feedback?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
Russell McVicker loved this episode because it was Randall-centric and it showed an interesting evolution and a realized creation. Yes, Randall's great fear of monsters as a child was squished as Jack told him to keep his act together because the other two weren't a firm to deal with, but it was still there. Fear and anxiety simply doesn't just go away with a thought. It needs to be dealt with as many through the episode suggested that he do. It needs to be talked about, but the more one attempts to suppress it, the more it grows and becomes even more difficult to temper. Randall released some of his built-up tension into the purse snatcher, which this was way in excess, and he received some release from the physical activity briefly. But when the office staff received him as a hero the next day, he realized he was no hero, but the monster he feared many years ago as a child. A hint of this hidden component can be glimpsed at when Jack watched a film on that first separate bedroom night, The Shining, in which an ordinary man turned into a monster. I'll give this 5 lemonades for the structure, direction, and great acting by Sterling K. Brown.
Hey, shout out to Russell McVicker, who is one of the long-lasting listeners of ours from the Leftovers podcast, The Living Reminders. Attaboy joining us on the This Is Us
tour
here. Thanks, Russell. This one comes from Jessica Lepore. She says 4.7 lemonades. Very reminiscent in style to seasons 2, episodes number 1, 2, and 3 style, where we each get big 3 stories, with this being a hell of a week part 1. Hoping they can keep the momentum up in the next one. Very much enjoyed them showing what appeared to be the origin of Randall's issues with Jack, asking him to be the stable one, and him silently laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, being afraid of monsters. I suppose that's my great for the episode. My good is showing the fallout from the fire, with Randall waking up in his dorm with the fire drill going on and Beth comforting him. The bad is probably the bit with Randall happening upon a woman getting mugged. That was a little too much for my liking in an episode stuffed with coincidences. I understand what they're trying to get across here, that it was all very overwhelming for Randall, with one thing after another going wrong, but they didn't need to beat us over the head with it. Looking forward to the podcast. Well, Jessica, we're here. We're recording it. We read your comment. You're welcome.
Angela Hickey gives this episode 4.3 lemonades. I felt like we didn't get much new information regarding Randall. For me, the more interesting bit was the dynamic of Kevin and Randall. I suppose hiding what is going on with Rebecca will blow up into what puts Kevin and Randall in a state of divide within 6 months. Kevin will obviously feel betrayed by it. The other element of interest was the hint of what's going on with Kate and Mark and what he did to her that Kevin called Randall about. Are we thinking physical battery? However, I feel like we have been down this road with Randall. We've seen this story plot played out in detail. So while it was a decent episode, I just don't feel like it gave me a lot of new stuff about Randall that we didn't already know. The one thing about that did perk my interest regarding Randall's storyline was Jack telling Randall at the end of a long night, basically, "Your brother and sister are a mess, but I need you to be brave and buck up." Without realizing it, Jack set him up to feel like he had to be the strong one and not show weakness. You can see repercussions of that now.
All right, so there are a couple of things here, Mary, that I want to ask you about as we get into the rest of this episode and the things that stand out to us. And it's actually brought up by both Jessica here and Angela. The first one that I want to bring up to you, Jessica says, her bad was the bit with Randall just happening upon a woman getting mugged. And I can't help but think I agree with her. It's broad daylight. This guy just shows up and grabs a bag from this woman and starts beating her up in her car. And it just so happens Randall is running past it. Is this a coincidence or is this something that's real, do you think, that could happen? And is it something that you were okay with by the end of the episode?
I mean, I said to Blake, even during this episode, that too felt very real to me. Because I myself have walked in on a violent situation in broad daylight, and I got in the middle of it as well. God, this is like,
this was written just for you.
This episode, yeah.
Are you and John Dorsey like talking on the side?
I don't know, John.
Here?
Are you like a psychic? Okay, another story. So I was on my college campus, broad daylight, summer session. I heard, "Help, help me, please." Turned around. There's this guy who's bleeding. And then some other guy, wicked tall, who's like walking up against the wall. And I walked over and I said, "Are you okay, sir?" And he said, "No, this is my student. He's very upset with his test." And I looked at this giant of a man. He was kind of foaming at the mouth and he was like mumbling. And he was like yelling at this guy, "I'm going to get you and your wife." And I stood in between them and I said, "You back up, sir, before you make a big mistake that you're going to regret."
"You back up, sir, before you make a big mistake."
I'm like protecting this grown man from a giant man foaming at the mouth. The other guy was bleeding. Like, what am I doing? And I somehow like talked him down and got help with the cops. I don't know. I did all this stuff and they freaking gave me a hero cake. I won. I won like a good Samaritan award that I don't even think existed. They made it up for me from URI and gave me a cake. So when I saw Randall walk in, I had so much fear. My mom yelled at me for that too. She said, why are you walking up to a crazy person foaming at the mouth, telling him to step away? You could have been cut or hurt. Just walk away, Mary. But nonetheless, when I saw this in broad daylight, I said, that stuff happens. It happens, man. And sometimes when you're a Gryffindor like Randall or Mary, you just step in.
Oh my God.
And then you get a cake. Good job,
a big
hero.
Cake. You know, you got John Dorsey's cake.
Oh. It was a big sheet cake.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Right. So what was your other question? So you said, do you have a problem with it? I don't have a problem.
You don't have a problem? You don't feel like it's just a coincidence that he just happens to fall upon this?
I obviously deeply connected with this episode in way too many ways. John Dorsey, wherever you are, if you enjoy tacos, my friend, we are meant to be best friends.
No, God, please, no! I'm not
saying we need to be in love, John.
No.
I'm just saying.
No!
Did we just become friends? Best friends.
Yep. What's your favorite dinosaur? Velociraptor.
Do you like to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at vintage arcades?
Oh, my God. Hey, Dorsey, take a hike.
But I'm just saying, we could be friends. Granted, though, this was like anxiety ridden, so maybe I don't want to.
You know, I was liking this guy, and now I'm out.
No,
now
you know
I'm
what?
Out on John
Dorsey.
Actually,
I take this back. John gave me all the bad feels, so I may not want to be your friend, John.
okay, all right.
Continue.
All
right. Do you have another question?
This poor guy is like, why are these people ranking on
no,
me?
No, I believe he deserves a cake.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying he did a very good job. I'm not hating.
Oh, man. All right.
Continue.
So the next question comes from Angela, obviously. And she said something along the lines of, we didn't learn anything new about Randall here. Do you agree with this statement or do you disagree with this statement?
I think one of the things that is very difficult for a television show to get across is that illnesses that you cannot always see on the outside are there all the time. Mm-hmm. Addiction is something that Kevin is going to be battling with and going to hopefully be in recovery from for the rest of his life. He is going to always be in recovery, hopefully, unless something bad happens. Mm-hmm. Randall has severe high-functioning anxiety. It is always there. And we've been able to see Randall pretty much keep his act together while he's doing incredibly crazy things that would make the most rational human, you know, need to have a little vacation, have a little break. Yep. And yet Randall runs. And yet Randall adds more to his plate.
Sure.
And we all know that this is bad. And we all know that it's going to see Randall break. But I think that it's important because this is, to me, a trait of a higher functioning person who suffers from anxiety.
I think the real interesting thing that they're doing here, and your boy John Dorsey is doing, is that he's setting up a direct parallel to Jack for Randall. Now, even though Randall gets his anxiety, as we know from previous episodes, from William, because that's obviously his natural born son, what I think he's doing here, Dorsey is doing, is he's saying, you know, Jack had his own issues with alcoholism and whatever, and he took plenty of time and effort and into his family. He worked very hard to overcome it. He did things to distract himself from it. Like, let's put it into perspective. Jack had the boxing thing, mm-hmm. right? Jack did the boxing to help get him out of the alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Jack didn't really talk to people about his stuff. He kept it all to him. And the same thing here is happening with Randall. Randall is utilizing running. He's utilizing all these things to kind of stem the get the anxiety away from him. And he's not talking. And not only is he not talking, he's refusing to talk to anybody. He doesn't want
not anymore.
He doesn't want to do it. That's true. He does talk to Kevin by the end, which is an interesting thing that he does for that character, which is what I kind of disagree with Angela in this one, in this part, which is we do learn something about Randall. He has this he has this anxiety issue, but it's manifested itself in so many different ways. But then he finally takes a step in the right direction to overcome it. He's no longer being like codependent on Beth to help him out after, you know, his dad died or whatever. He's actually taking steps to talk about it.
Well, and I think what's important too is that obviously Randall has very severe anxiety. Like, we think back to when he had that breakdown in his office crying in the corner with Kevin beside him. And yet we haven't seen Randall have an ongoing therapist. We haven't seen Randall have medical assistance. You know, we don't see him being treated in one way, shape, or form ongoing. Mm-hmm. You know, he took the little break, he got some help, but that was it. But this wasn't just a one-time thing for Randall. Randall, obviously, this episode, I mean, we've been able to see throughout the show, Randall's always had anxiety.
Sure.
So he needs to have upkeep, and I think that he's finally realizing that now.
Absolutely. He absolutely is realizing it and probably should have realized it a long time ago, especially with the aid of his mother. Like, mm-hmm. there is this great scene where Rebecca's like, what's the deal with your dreams? Like, what's going on with that? As she's distracted by Kevin and mm-hmm. Sophie and whatever. And young Randall just refuses to talk about it. Even Beth finally gets to him as young Beth. By the way, young Beth.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
We thought that she was I don't want to call her old Beth. So I'm calling her normal age Beth.
Current age.
Current age Beth.
Yes. We thought that she was, like, I thought they were doing this really cool thing. Instead of having old or current age Randall, they were doing this really cool visual trick of having young Randall next to current age Beth. And it's just this thing showing you.
It's just the two actresses look so much alike.
They look so similar. You're like, oh my God. We really thought it was.
Yeah, Blake
it was
and I were like, oh cool, it's teenage and current age. And then we realized, oh no, just the teenage Beth is such a perfect dupe for
right.
the younger
version. The doppelganger,
yes.
If you will. Yes,
the younger doppelganger.
And this kind of, I think, speaks to their relationship a little bit here. There are two things that I want to talk about the Randall and Beth relationship. Do you think he does put too much of a burden on Beth as it relates to his emotional stuff when they were younger and eventually as they were older? Or do you think that's just the natural kind of thing that happens between a married couple?
I mean, what is good is that Beth, you know, tried to get him help. But she also never told him, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
So I think that Beth is a very healthy companion for Randall.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I do wonder if it is a tad unfair for Beth. But sometimes, like, I know for you and I, my love, you know, I've gone through some things where I had to lean on you. And
lean on me.
No, I hate that song. Oh God, I hate
when
that song.
You're not strong.
Oh God, I hate that song so much. I had to lean on you for it, and it probably was unfair of me to do so. But that's what I needed, and you've done the same for me. Where it's just like that's what you needed. And I really got this great sense when Beth says, "Listen, we need to talk. We need to clear our schedules, and we need to figure this out." And it just so happened that this came right after the scene with Jack and young Randall, and Jack sleeping, and Jack says to him, "Listen, I need you to toughen up here, because your two siblings are a handful, and I need you to be tough here." You know, you look to your parents for guidance and strength and hope and being correct and that need of love. And it was sent up upon, well, I mean, it was delivered on next scene with Beth and Randall. And she says, we need to talk and we got to figure this out. And what struck me about it was this sentiment that they are a unit. It's not just Beth. It's not just Randall. It's Beth and Randall. And they're together. They're taking care. They are a unit. And that may be colored by a lot of the things that are going on in my personal life right now outside of our little family. But I can't believe how much you can lean on your partner and the fact that you're creating your own life together, right? Did you get that sense from that conversation, or is this just me looking way too into it?
I mean, you went really deep. I'm not going to lie. You went there. But I think that is the partnership. And I think that that's why theirs is a really interesting one to watch, because they are a good balance for each other in this particular time.
Yes. What do you think about the conversation between Darnell and Randall? How'd that go?
Oh, Darnell.
I like Darnell. I'm kind of in on him.
I love Darnell because Darnell is YOLO, man. He is like, you live once. I am going to say things as it is. Yes, I've got tattoos. Yes, I've lived a life, friend, but I am like all here just to be like a good human being and looking out for people. And he just comes over and tells it like it is. And I feel like this is what it's really tough when you open up about your own insecurities or not insecurities, but when you open up about something that people could see as a weakness, you know, for him to say like, I had to go through therapy. Mm-hmm. You don't know how people are going to take it. And I loved that he was able to say, I knew why you were off. You know, Malik told me what happened. So it makes sense to me. That's why I didn't lay into you in that town meeting. But like, you're not okay. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a story about how I wasn't okay. You know, that is not an easy thing.
No, not at all.
Especially to someone who you're not necessarily close to.
You're not even really buddies with at all.
For him to come up and say, I went through therapy.
Right.
And not only did I go through therapy, but I think you probably need to.
Mm-hmm. You feel like he's almost getting through. He's just about there. And then all of a sudden, I was like, nope, I'm good. Thanks. I'm going to go running.
Yeah.
You know, you were just there. You're just there. And this actually kind of segues beautifully into the whole councilman thing.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes started to glaze over when they started talking about this bill, the housing bill, and it's going to raise rents on certain people and this and that. And again, I think that's an interesting topic. I think it's an interesting thing to discuss, but not on This Is Us. This Is Us is not a show about that. But your boy John Dorsey does a great thing here. And it's kind of what happened with the councilman's story earlier, which is, it's not the thing, as I've said many times, it's the thing that gets you to the thing, which is, it's not about the
apartment building.
It's about
businesses.
It's about Randall and how he's dealing with himself.
And his inability to focus.
Yeah, he can't focus. So my eyes started, I was getting a popsicle headache because this is not what This Is Us is about.
We, Mary and Blake, do not enjoy the councilman storyline.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But exactly, it's not about that.
But it's about how that thing is affected by Randall and how Randall's life is crumbling around him, and the councilman thing is a part of the greater thing of Randall's life and what they're trying to get across. So that was a big mistake, in my opinion, what they did in season 3. They made the councilman plotline the thing, and that was boring.
Agreed.
This is about the relationships that he's having and how they're affected.
Yeah.
And how this is being manipulated by the thing, mm-hmm. which I really quite like. Anything else you got for this episode, my love?
Did you find it a little confusing when they were missing the earrings and the cufflinks? Did you think like, oh, did the guy come back in last night?
No, I took it as though the guy did go up into the room,
yeah,
and get them.
Yeah,
what I thought was going to happen at first was Randall was going to go into the bathroom, mm-hmm. and see his cufflinks in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And see them like on the sink or something, like he took them out and didn't remember that he took them out.
Yeah.
And then it was going to kind of play into the whole...
Because that's what happens when you get robbed. You sit there and you say, where, at least if you're messy like me, like, where is this?
Right.
I remember what the second time that I had been broken into and valuable things had been taken. About a month later, I realized that my digital camera was gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like different little things that I didn't write down in the police report because, you know, we were so focused on important jewelry. Like Blake had bought me this beautiful necklace that was gone. Like it was like these big pieces that we automatically looked for were gone.
Right.
But then other things, and you sit there and you say, am I just missing it? Did I put it somewhere else or was that taken? And that's what I was thinking with this thing with the cufflinks. Like, is Randall imagining this? Oh no, this is an actual thing. It took me a couple moments to understand, no, he didn't come back. No, they didn't lose it. This actually all happened. He was walking through their house with a knife.
Yep. One other thing that kept on happening to me throughout the episode was you could still make an argument if you really wanted to that it could have been a hallucination.
Yeah.
Because nothing happened to Randall.
Randall broke his fifth, what was it? I want to say marsupial, but it's not.
Metatarsal?
Yes.
Marsupial. Like, no, that's from punching the guy. Yes. Well, I'm saying but he didn't punch the home invader. He punched the lady.
I
Robin.
Thought you were trying to say this whole episode.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I meant the first encounter. And I kept thinking, well, there's still room here. There's still room for it to be an hallucination because just because Randall remembers putting money down on the counter doesn't mean that it actually happened.
Agreed.
Right?
It was funny. You and I sat down. We were going, all right, is this a dream? Is this a dream? Is this a hallucination? Nope. Right. And the more we watched the episode, we realized, no, this actually is happening.
So part of me wanted to be right and see the cufflinks on the on the bathroom sink and see her earrings on the bathroom sink or something like that. Like, that's what I wanted to see out of it. And it would further mess with Randall even more, right, than what we would already imagine. I do have to say that my take on it with the home invasion part of it wasn't wrong, but it wasn't right. I'm not going to go so far as saying I'm walking back my take, but I'm almost there. Like, I'm opening the door for it, that the home invasion bit was going to be really bad. Like bad television.
It wasn't.
And in fact, it was probably the best of both worlds, the way that it was written. Meaning like, okay, this happened and it was very scary, but it wasn't the thing. The home invasion was not the thing. Mm-hmm. It was the thing that gets us to the thing, which is how does Randall handle all of this stuff? Like the fire alarm when he was in college wasn't the thing. It was the thing that gets you to the thing, how he was so upset about his dad and the fire. And that was just not that long ago that his dad died from the fire. And he has the fire alarm. We gotta get out of here right now.
Those fire alarms.
Oh, man. Those things are terrible.
Caught me when I was in the shower once.
Did you really?
Freshman freaking year, man. That's how I made friends. I was the girl wet in a towel standing outside.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hey, fun bit of trivia for this episode.
Please change the topic from all my embarrassing stories. Let's move on from this.
We're going to whistle past the graveyard on that one. Fun bit of trivia.
Okay.
We now know that Rebecca and Jack were married on May 16th, 1976.
Yay.
We also know that their first date takes place on December 23rd, 1972, which is the night of the Immaculate Reception, if you recall that episode. That was their first date.
Their first date, I thought, was eating candied apples, and that's not Christmas time.
That was the Immaculate Reception. That was the problem with that episode, you remember? Like, the Immaculate Reception was in the winter, and everyone was like, yeah, but how could you go to a fair in the winter?
Okay, yeah, you're right. I do remember complaining about this.
Remember that?
Okay. And they weren't bundled warm enough.
And we also know that the big three are born on August 31st, 1980.
So why are you saying all these dates?
Oh, I'm just saying it's just a point of reference for everybody. Oh, okay. Like it was an interesting fact that we now know when they
were
married.
Their wedding date, yeah.
You know, like it's piecing all these small things together.
Just pulled out my tea bag from my mug. Lumos. Not for you.
Oh, sorry, man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, all right. Yeah. Anything else you got for this episode? I just find the dramatic irony of knowing that Randall and Kevin are not going to be speaking to be so powerful.
Agreed.
And it's not that far away from now.
I care more about this than I do about watching Kate's problem.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I
Kate's
feel
problem
like
better blow my doors off.
That's it. They're trying to make this Kate thing the new her. They're trying to make the Kate thing, how did Jack die? You know, it's like they've sprinkled it in.
I think it's a step below both, but you're on the right track.
It's this season's how did Jack die? It's this season's who is her? You know, like, just stop. Like, I don't know. I'm over it. I'm over the fact that we need to wait well into February, because if you guys didn't get the memo, Kevin's episode, the next episode of This Is Us, isn't for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
It's not until February freaking 11th.
Oh, I did not know that.
Ready? There's something they're doing with Ellen. They're doing like a bajillion things of Ellen's show.
Ugh.
And then it's the State of the Union.
Shame.
So because of that, we have to wait for Kevin's episode and see what happens between him and Sophie at a funeral.
I get the State of the Union thing. They did that last year,
because that's when you want to have sex.
Yeah, at a funeral.
At your mom's funeral.
I got a great hot take on that.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a great hot take.
Well, let's just jump in.
All right. Well, no, we got in or out. You ready for in or out?
Okay.
Let's do it.
What's it going to be, McFly?
Are you in? Are you out?
I realized, because I listen to every episode that we produce of any podcast.
We couldn't be more different.
I listen to every single one religiously. And I go back and I'm like, okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? How do we improve? That whole thing.
You're so good.
And I realized last episode, I didn't play that sound. And it got me so mad that I was seconds away from taking the one that we had up down to replace it with that sound.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to do it. And then I realized, you know what? It don't matter that much. But I was that upset. All right. In or out? In or out? In or out on therapy?
Totes in.
I am way in on therapy. I used to not be in on therapy.
And then
I met my wife.
And then I took him to couples therapy, which really became Blake's therapy.
Yeah.
It took you a little while to open up. So we'd just sit there and I would tell the therapist what was going on with you.
Yeah. I'm a very private person, especially as it comes to my marriage. I don't want anybody knowing my stuff.
And then you've married me, who talks about
everything
on a microphone
to thousands of people. It's okay. It's fine.
I got a good
Tens
Samaritan
of
cake
of
out of
people.
That. Hey, no.
All right. In or out on being a city councilman or councilwoman?
In. We, but really, it's out.
we call.
That actually is the reunion rule one.
That is the reunion. That
you
is
told
the
me
reunion
I
rule.
Run.
That was the first one. That's right.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Because you wanted to be a real life Leslie Knope.
Well, there's okay. We're from Rhode Island, guys. If you don't know Rhode Island, we've got really corrupt politics. And Blake and I live in the most important ward in the state. And oh my gosh, I told Blake I could run for this seat. And I would win because in Rhode Island, I'm a little famous and I think people would recognize my name and they would vote for me. And I could like make a big change.
Yes.
But I didn't because Blake said, I'm going to call the reunion rule. You cannot run for office.
That's right. That is right. She wanted to be the real life Leslie Knope. And I was like, nope, can't do that.
Oh my gosh, we figured it out. Okay, so yes, I would love to be a, well, not councilwoman. Necessarily councilwoman. Yeah, I'd love to be a councilwoman. But my husband won't let me.
I am out on being a councilman. Way out. No thanks.
I know you are. You're prohibiting me from making a change. Do you realize how important it is for women to be running for elected positions right now?
Absolutely.
And I could honestly win.
I think it's
win.
A great idea.
And I totally agree
just
with
not you, for
you that I would win and I'd do it for a month and then I'd be like, this is too much work.
I don't like this
people
anymore.
Are mean. People don't get along.
She's sitting there with her arms crossed, with her face all pushed up.
Meetings are boring.
I thought we were going to have candy today.
Where are the tacos? Where's John?
Where's John? Oh, man. All right. In or out on town hall meetings?
Totally in.
I'm way out.
Oh, my God. Do you remember how I used to go
out.
To all the Providence ones
oh
because of
God.
The crime?
You get upset because you're like, but the answer is to get a dog?
No joke, guys. I went to the city meeting. We were having a massive break-in problem, obviously. And the freaking mayor and the cops said, get a dog.
Oh, God, please, no.
That was
no.
their suggestion was to get a dog. The city of Providence, the capital of Rhode Island. Oh. Blake and I then moved.
Yeah, right after that, we're like, nope, not going to happen.
Not great, Bob.
Our biggest suggestion is to get a dog.
All right, in or out on the Great British Bake Off.
We find that it really deters the...
get a friggin' dog. Yeah, thanks for all the tax money we got to pay.
Yeah, Great British Bake Off?
Yes, in or out on that.
I want to be in.
I'm out.
But I haven't watched it yet because I've been binging Virgin River instead. And you want to know who's on that? Sophie.
Sophie is in on that. All right, so in or out on Virgin River.
In, except for this one episode that Blake had to watch.
It was one of the worst episodes of television I've ever seen in my life. It was so bad.
For those of you who've watched it, it was the episode where the mayor doesn't get to play cards with her friends. For the donuts. Not a great episode.
And everybody has a different name than they're actually. The one guy's called Preacher. Another lady's called Doc.
Yes, those are their names. He's a doctor.
But that ain't his name. It's Preacher. Hey,
you
Preacher.
Call me Marvin.
Hey, Preach. Yeah, no, but every person is. Not every person calls you Marvin.
Our kids now do. Thanks a lot.
I know, that's true.
My 4-year-old came out to me. Hey, Marvin.
All right. In or out on horror movies.
I'm out.
I am way in. I make Mary watch one horror movie a year.
Yeah.
One. That's all she needs.
I have an anxiety problem, guys.
Yeah. This year's was A Quiet Place, which is not really
horror.
But you agreed to do it thinking that it was horror.
But I also believe in aliens, and it kind of kept me up for way too many nights.
In or out on The Shining?
I'm in the sense that it was an incredible movie, and I don't really need to see it anytime soon.
Oh, I love The Shining.
I do love, I will say, out of horror, I do enjoy Stephen King.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes, you do. The Shining is one of those films... I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's more thought-provoking when you say horror movies. Like, I don't like just bloody B-horror films.
Friday the 13th.
I'm not into that, but Stephen King I can do.
Yes. The Shining is just one of those films that you can go down the rabbit hole and just get lost in it. It's kind of like The Matrix, but just different. You can just get lost in a film, and The Shining is one of them. In or out on Braveheart, the movie.
Oh, my God. When Blake and I heard those bagpipes...
We knew immediately.
Braveheart the movie?
Yeah, Braveheart the movie. Are you in or out?
All in.
I'm all in too. Love that film. It's peak Mel Gibson.
Have you painted your face half blue?
I've not done that.
You haven't lived.
No, I have not. All right, in or out on Braveheart the soundtrack?
Owned the CD. And
I did too.
I like freaking love it.
The worst part about this is that I actually played Braveheart the soundtrack while studying in college. At the time.
Want me to up you?
Sure, absolutely.
I played the Braveheart soundtrack on my saxophone.
Nerd!
Mic drop.
All right. lastly, in or out on running?
In, because I signed me and Blake up for a 5K.
The worst decision I've ever made
in
my life.
We don't run.
I'm not a runner. Never have been, never will be.
We eat tacos.
Yes.
But we're going to be running this summer, guys.
Oh, God.
And by running, I mean just in a 5K, but that's a big thing for us.
It is.
Cheer us on.
I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk the 5K. That's fine.
It's fine.
All right. You got a hot take for this one?
No.
I do. All right. So this is a developing take.
I believe in aliens.
I want to believe.
In aliens?
Well, no. I should. That remember the poster and Fox Mulder's... In his office, and it has the alien ship with the bite.
Oh, hold on. Someone crying.
Sorry, ladies and gents. Yes, someone was crying. Yes. It was our daughter. It was absolutely our daughter.
What was wrong with her?
She had a bad dream.
Oh, my God.
She went full Randall in this one.
Stop. Why are you down here?
Well, because she's fine now.
Okay.
She went back to bed. And I was actually just up there talking. We had to obviously take a quick break. It happened within a second for you guys, but for us, it was about 5 minutes. As I'm talking to her, I was thinking about Jack and how he's like, hey, because I asked her, did you have a bad dream, my daughter? And she said, oh, yeah, I did. And I said, oh, it's okay. Well, don't worry about it. Everything's daddy's here. Everything's going to be fine. And if you recall, I was actually thinking about this as I was talking to her. Jack says to Randall, you believe in monsters? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, listen, they're going to have to get through me to get to you. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's going to happen? And Randall says, no. And I... thought about this and I was like, this is so freaking awesome. Randall tells the guy the home invader, you ain't getting through me. It's not going to happen.
This all just happened to you.
This all just happened to me 2 seconds ago. Amazing. As I'm talking to my daughter about monsters and bad dreams and all this other stuff. And I was like, wow, holy smokes. That was freaking cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we were talking about, we were talking about Fox Mulder's poster, and it has the alien ship and with the light, and it says, "I want to believe."
Okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter. This is also a developing take as well.
Okay.
This is a what?
I'm ready. I'm ready for this episode to be done. It was very difficult for me.
All right. Slightly developing take.
Now my daughter has a nightmare. Yeah.
The nerds down the hall are working on this one. Okay.
Yes.
The girl in the bed with Kevin at the end, not Sophie.
Okay.
Someone else. However, Sophie is the baby mama.
Well, this would just not be very likable of Kevin.
Maybe he's not supposed to be likable. That's why he says, "I'm in a situation here." I'm telling you, I'm not saying that is what it is.
I mean, that is a situation. That's like situation Jersey Shore type of situation.
Yeah, and he ain't calling the cab. Do you think he calls the cab for the non-Sophie to leave? Okay. I'll call you a cab. It's 2 a.m.
And we have to wait till February 11th.
Oh, so I'm not going full Irishman here. I'm not saying it's what it is. I'm not saying that, but it's close.
Okay.
It's close. All right, Marvin, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Very.
Well, I feel like we have to invoke the reunion rule, how special it is, and go full Leslie Nope.
You do know that I'm going to ask to run again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the theme song to Parks and Rec.
For those of you who've never watched it, if you want to know what I'm like in real life,
Go watch Parks and Rec and see Leslie Knope.
I also love waffles.
All the waffles.
My name's Mary.
That's it. We got to tell everybody where to go.
We already did in the beginning of the episode. The music's almost done.
No, it's not. We got full 2 minutes of this.
Okay, fine.
I got the extended version just for you.
What do you want to say, man?
We're going to say go to maryandblake.com.
Yes.
Check out all the amazing podcasts that we have. We got to read the iTunes reviews.
I've already closed iTunes.
Well, listen.
I messed it up.
We got some great iTunes reviews. Thank you very much. There is a process to this, and Mary just messed it all up.
You just said that, and you moved your hands. It was very tough. We've got some great iTunes reviews.
Yeah. Amazing. It was very Trumpian.
It was.
Unfortunately.
My God, please. Can we end this anxiety-reducing?
Well, I thought this would help you.
No.
The Parks and Rec doesn't help.
Blake, when I want you to calm me down... And I'm like,
listen.
Randall, and I say, talk to me about something. Do you think I want to hear this?
Yes, of course.
No, I want to talk about Virgin River. I want you to bore me with baseball drama.
I can do that.
Oh, guess what? And then this guy makes a signal, and now he's some other coach, and all in trouble.
It puts me right to sleep. It's great.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate that. I now realize I will never share anything with you ever again.
Whenever I ask you to tell me about baseball, it's because I'm anxious and I want to be bored so I can go to sleep.
Oh, finally, the music has ended.
And then the Astros coach.
When all of a sudden did I start talking like this?
Well, that's what it turns into in my head so I can calm down.
You know what? Just for that, we're playing it again.
No, let's please. I just want to go upstairs.
We're playing it again. We're playing it again. We're playing the 30-second version just for you.
Hey, we get it. You
All
like
right,
Parks
fine.
And Rec.
I love Parks and Rec.
I know you do.
All right, fine. Well, go ahead.
My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us too. Go eat waffles.